Oh man, Tennessee Titans, they was in for one today. Detroit Lions put up a 50 burger today. Can you tell me what causes this offense to be so explosive?
To me, I think it is. I'm going to actually start with the offensive line. That's where I'm going to go here. And I think the play caller is also brilliant. I think Ben Johnson, there's going to be at the end of this season, there's going to be like eight teams that want to hire him as the head coach. And he's going to have his pick of the litter. And he's going to try to figure out which team is either in position to bet to draft the quarterback that I want to work with for the long for the long haul, or which team that has a vacancy is going to give me the opportunity to work with a quarterback I want to work with. I will say about him, though, he did make a mistake, Ben Johnson, because by all rights, he could have had the Washington head coaching job, and I would have loved to have seen him with Daniels. Now, the Kingsbury thing is working out fine, but still, I mean, that would have been really cool. He would have had a quarterback for the next 15 years if he had taken that job.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, I think the offensive line's the best in the NFL. And it took them a couple of weeks for whatever reason this year to get their footing. But I think it all starts from there. It makes Goff comfortable. Look at the running backs. Either one, both can beat you. Montgomery had a huge game. Gibbs had a long run. And the cherry on top is that their special teams, massive today. Kalief Raymond punt return, two of them. They forced, I think, five turnovers. So they can score 50 points when all three phases are working in harmony with each other. Last year, their defense wasn't very good, and they had problems in the kicking game last year, too. And now, these last few weeks, everything is synced up. The pessimistic fan in me, Pat, when teams do this, I always get nervous that they're peaking too soon. Like, hey, guys, do what you're doing now and please bottle this up for not October 27th. Can we do this in January, please? Because if they're playing like this, hey, this team can beat Kansas City if they play like this, honestly, even without Aiden Hutchinson, which I thought was insane when he got hurt. But they right now look to me like the best team in the NFL.
This is probably the most well-rounded football team from their head coach to both of their coordinators on both sides of the football and to
And
the
it's the
talent.
Lions we're talking about.
I
I mean,
know.
dude, you
I
played
know.
against the Lions for years. It was a
Yep.
freaking cakewalk. They couldn't
I
get out of their
know.
own way.
I know. And the talent that they have acquired over the years, man, they have a real football team, and the city of Detroit is right behind them. So it's pretty cool to see the culture that Coach Campbell has been able to create there. And it has taken him some time, but the ownership in the Lions organization, they believe his vision, and now it's all starting to come into fruition. But going back to your point, I don't think they're flourishing too soon, because this football team, you can tell that they have their eyes on the prize, and they came up short last year, and they obviously understand and know what it takes to get there. So they're not letting anything slow them up or get in their way. And that is the way that they're playing. When I watch the Detroit Lions play on Sundays, it's like they're playing like, we know that we're better than you. Your offensive coordinator is calling whatever plays that he wants. The defense is
Right.
way
They
better
had
than
another
it
trick
had
play
been.
today where Laporta caught a touchdown pass from a wide receiver.
Exactly. And what? Montgomery threw a touchdown pass today as well.
Oh, that's what that was Montgomery. My bad. It
Yeah,
was not a wide
Montgomery.
receiver. Thank
So
you.
Montgomery threw David Montgomery threw a touchdown pass today. So just the confidence that and the poise that they're playing with on a weekly basis, it's scary, man. So watch out. Detroit Lions are for real.
Cardinals and the Dolphins, Arizona, your old team. Kyler spoiled Tua's return with a come from behind win. They were down nine in the fourth quarter. They won this game. What did this win tell us about the Cardinals, Pat?
Man, what I've been saying all year is a strappy football team, and it's just going to come down to Kyler Murray. Him staying healthy, him continue to be the dynamic playmaker that they're going to need him to be in order for them to be the team one of the team standing and representing the NFC West. You know, so in the deep, I like what I see from the defense week in and week out. They may give up, you know, some the offense may get down in the red zone, but they find a way to get costly turnovers. They find a way to not give up many points. You know, so I really like what I see from the Arizona Cardinals, but it's going to come down to number one. Everything's going to come down to number one if he's in the lineup and if he's, you know, completely locked in for the second half of the season, because we all know that's the MO of his
career.
That's
call it duty time.
Yeah, we all you said that. We all know the first and the second quarter of the season, he's really good. But as the season goes on, the wins and the losses kind of flip flop. So I don't hope that I hope that will not happen this year for him, because I'm rooting for the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll see how the second half of the season unfolds for him. Then we'll be able to have a much better in-depth conversation to see if it's going to be the same old Cardinals that we've been seeing in the past, or is this the new improved Cardinals that want to line up each and every week and win football games?
It's his first two-game winning streak since 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – I know he had the injury in there, but that's a long time for a number one overall pick quarterback who got a big contract to not win back-to-back games. They were both on late field goals. Marvin Harrison Jr., more of him, please. I mean, that's got to be the recipe. Yeah. He had 111 yards, and so their connection was there. Here's something about the Tua thing for a minute that got brought up during this game, and I honestly want your opinion on it. He slid on a running play and got a standing ovation from the crowd there. They were so happy that he took off and ran and then protected himself. And I don't know who was announcing this game, but the remark got made that this ex-player thought that defensive players really don't want to hit him, that they know now how fragile he is. And like, there's even maybe even a mentality among defensive players, like, I don't want to be the guy who knocks this guy out again. Do you agree with that?
No. I mean, with me being a defensive player, I don't, when I'm on the football field, that's not crossing my mind. You know,
right? Like, how do you actually have time to think about that when you're just trying to do your job,
right,
and win games? Like, you're consciously thinking, "Oh, wait, this guy has a concussion history. I don't want to tackle him."
Right?
Now.
Yeah, that's just something that's very unfortunate, and you don't want to be playing the game slow or thinking about how you're going to tackle somebody, because then that's how you can get hurt. You know, so that's how a lot of injuries happen as well. Guys unsure what to do. You know what I mean? So. No, I do not agree with that statement one bit. We got the Jets and the New England Patriots. Oh my God. I mean, I don't even know where to start with the New York Jets. But is it time to burn the Jets?
Sure. I mean, they need to do something there. They need some kind of exorcism to get themselves out of this. But Aaron Rodgers talking about the darkness after the game. How, you know, you got to get comfortable with the darkness. What the hell is he talking about? I mean, seriously. The number on him that I think encapsulates everything that is wrong with this team is that he has now gone 30 games without a 300-yard game. So that goes back to his time in Green Bay, obviously. What is so scary about that is they have been one of the most pass-heavy teams in the entire league. So they can't run the ball, or they don't want to run the ball, or both. And they're giving Aaron Rodgers almost 40 pass attempts a game, and he still can't get to 300 yards. Guys, he's 40 years old. You know, I mean, Tom Brady, I think, had us all fooled because he went to 45. Drew Brees went into his early 40s. You know, Favre had one more year with Minnesota at 40, but everybody else is done by this point, man. It's just Dan Marino wasn't playing football at 40. Kurt Warner wasn't. Go through the list of the great quarterbacks in history, and 99% of them weren't playing anymore. So, I mean, shame on us. I don't mean you, but shame on like the media for just thinking that he was going to come off this Achilles injury and be one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not that guy anymore. Yeah. And unfortunately for him, the Jets are such a train wreck and poorly run organization that him as just an average quarterback, it's not good enough there. I mean, honestly, today though, Pat, I mean, he was, I'm not saying he was good, but when you score a touchdown with 5 minutes left and Jacoby Brissett is in the game and you've got all the guys they have on defense, it is unacceptable that that team marches down the field and scores a touchdown to beat you. And that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I mean, that to me was embarrassing. You've got Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, CJ Mosley, name off the stars on defense, and Jacoby Brissett, some guy named Booty, and Ramondre Stevenson, who's a good player, are shoving it up your rear end to beat you. I mean, it's over there. I mean, they bring Davante Adams in. He's going from one bad team to an even worse team after that trade.
Exactly. And just watching this game today, man, this team just look unprepared. I don't like using the word not coached, or the coach did not prepare the team well enough, but they definitely look not prepared as far as getting the delay of games.
Yep.
Just the penalties.
They used three timeouts on offense in the first quarter of the game.
I was just about to say that, using all your timeouts in the first quarter. Zerliner can't make any field goals. I mean, defense can't stop neither one of the quarterbacks. Then you go and lose to the worst team, well, the second worst team in the NFL behind the Panthers. So this was just an awful look on the Jets. Like Aaron didn't play horrible. He still had 233 yards, two tubs, only sacked one time. But being average is not going to be good enough to get this team out of this hole.
Trevor Lawrence just sliced and diced this team, and the head coach came out afterwards and said, "We're soft."
Right.
Right. I mean, it's a fight with them and you end up losing it. I mean,
man, you know, at the same time too, man, it's just so much, like I told you, when they fired their coach, it's just too much going on around there for them to get themselves out of this hole. It's just too much.
Ravens and Browns. My man, Famous Jameis, played his fanny off in his season debut.
He did.
You know, the Ravens lose a game that they probably should have won. Kyle Hamilton dropped the gimme interception that would have sealed the game for them. Jameis had 9 lives today.
Yeah, he did.
Can he be the Browns QB1 in 2025?
Yes, I believe so, because Jameson is a winner, man. Jameson is a guy who led the league. This is not a good stat, but he led the league in touchdowns before and also interceptions that year.
He had the only 30-30 season ever.
I know. But Jameson is one of those guys that you can trust. He's one of those guys that you can give him the keys and allow him to drive the car, as the Cleveland Browns did today. You know, you can just tell. I don't know what it is about the Cleveland Browns, but their backup quarterbacks just come in and the offense just look completely different. And
about Deshaun? Right?
I don't know if Deshaun is afraid to push the ball down the field like those quarterbacks, like Joe Flacco and Jameson has done once they get into the starting lineup. But the offense definitely looks totally different when those backup quarterbacks come. Backup quarterbacks that understand, you know, the offense, not only the offense, but understanding what pushing the ball down the field does for everything else.
There was a big mistake there by the new offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, where they could have basically just run out the clock at the end of the first half. And on a third and long, they tried to get a first down. There was a missed assignment, unblocked blitz, sack, fumble. And then Baltimore scored a touchdown. And I'm like, damn it, that's the game right there. Mm-hmm. You know, Baltimore just snatched the lead. They had been outplayed the entire first half, but they're going into the locker room with the lead, feeling like, okay, we haven't played well, but we're winning, and we're going to, you know, put our foot on the throat of this team in the second half. Then Jameis comes right out and leads a touchdown drive. Because, you know, I mean, he just had that poise, which, to your point, I mean, he does, but also that confidence backfires because he just thinks he can make every play and he'll throw 5 interceptions in games sometimes. But he Judy had his best game.
Yep.
Cedric Tillman, who they've been waiting for, made big plays. Chubb looked more like himself. The offensive line didn't look as bad. I mean, you put a competent quarterback in there, and all of a sudden Cleveland looks like a much better team. It's the only game all year they've scored more than 20 points. And Pat, look, I mean, we've given Baltimore their flowers offensively. They can't win a Super Bowl with this defense. This is not the Baltimore Ravens defense from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, they're leaking, and it looked like it's going back to how they were at the beginning of the season with some, you know, mishaps in the back end.
Got, yes.
You know, guys running wide open.
How does Tillman get behind everybody on that touchdown at the end of the game?
Yeah, it looks like they were in some type of cover three, if I'm not mistaken. And he just was streaking right up the seam. And I don't know how he got behind the safety. And Jameson dropped a dime.
Yeah, he did. He did do that.
He dropped a dime. So you hate to see that, because you thought that the Baltimore Ravens kind of got that out of their system. But it is something about divisional games, man, that you know each other very well. You kind of understand when they're in certain defenses or when they want to do certain things. So this, anytime you're playing against a divisional opponent, no matter how good you're playing or how good you have been playing leading up into this game, you must know that you're going to get your best shot from your divisional opponent. So,
and Myles Garrett showed up in a very elaborate Terminator costume.
Terminator would costume, you, which was fire.
Would you wear Halloween costumes to and from games?
I did.
You did?
I did, man. Yeah, it was dope, man. I think I did Freddy before. We did the Beetlejuice family before. Man, Halloween is like, ever since I became a father, man, yep. It's like a, like tomorrow, we got a costume for every day, literally every day of the week.
And Spence wants to know if we're going to do costumes on Thursday. I am, because I'm going to be out with daughter earlier.
Right. And I'm going to be out here, so let's do it.
Okay. You will definitely on our YouTube page see us in elaborate costumes. Saints, Chargers, Panthers, Bucks. Thoughts on either one of these games here?
Saints, Pat? Chargers, Panthers, Bucks. Let's go with the Saints and Chargers, man. I wasn't surprised to see the Chargers win the way that they did. They needed that win for sure after losing to that close game against the Arizona Cardinals last week. So this was a much needed win for them. Defense played lights out against a struggling opponent in the Saints. You know, so hopefully this can be something that can kickstart their season. You know, they're kind of riding a roller coaster ride right now. Everyone still is kind of feeling themselves out. But I like what Coach Harbaugh in the direction that he had that team going, because I remember when he came into was the 49ers head coach. That's, we kind of came in the same year, and this kind of resembles what he's putting together there in LA. So LA will be a team to be reckoned with, you know, here pretty soon. He's still trying to get his guys in there. But what'd you say? Broncos, Panthers, nothing. Bryce Young, and you know, he played a little bit better. I don't know if you can see that the process is getting a little bit better for him, you know, with the time that he was able to, you know, sit back and watch behind Dalton. But for the most part, the Panthers are going to continue to stink. And Broncos look good. Bo Nix looking better as the season goes on. Man, these rookie quarterbacks, man, they're looking sharp. So shout out to the rookie class of quarterbacks. But, yeah, the Panthers, man, better luck next year.
My quick thought on that game was not only Bo Nix, who had 284 and three touchdowns. It was his best game, but it does come against Carolina, so mm-hmm. You have to put that asterisk on it.
Yep.
You know, games like this are why Sean Payton is not ever going to get voted the most popular coach or everyone's best friend coach, because number one, he's got the audacity in a game they're up 28-7 to run a fake field goal and trick play up three scores with just a couple minutes left in the game. And then JC Horn, who is a really good player on a really bad team, goes right up to Peyton after the game and is like, dude, what's your effing problem? I love that. You know, and on one hand, people might say, well, if you don't want that to happen, play better. Understandable. But come on now. Trick plays, though, up three touchdowns. That, to me, that is rubbing it in. If you want to go for it, go for it. You know, if you want to go for it on fourth down, just actually run a play. Don't give me this don't give me that kind of BS play. And then Peyton, after the game, comes out and says, we know that they were a horrible offense, so we're not going to actually take anything out of the way our defense played.
Wow.
Like, no respect, or I'll at least be polite or kind about their rebuilding efforts. Just bluntly says that team stinks.
Yeah.
For the Chargers, did you see the play where, I don't know the New Orleans defender's name, he goes low on Herbert. Mm-hmm. It's the leg where he had a high ankle sprain earlier in the year, and it looked like he had like a wrestling hold on him where he was trying to bend it in the wrong direction, taking him down. And Bradley Bozeman, the Charger center, came over and absolutely destroyed the guy. I mean, just like, I have not seen an example yet this year of an offensive lineman who's like, you do that to my quarterback and I will actually assault you on the football field. And you know what? I like seeing that.
Oh, yeah. You always have to have your quarterbacks back, because, hell, you got to protect them. And if you're not protecting you,
and you take a penalty there, whatever, the quarterback, he's making enough money, he'll pay the damn fine for you, is how I see that.
And not only that, like, offensive linemen see that, no matter how old they are, but they look at the quarterback as their baby brother. You know what I mean? So you don't just let nobody, you know, come in and touch your baby brother, do you? You know,
if anybody was going to mess with my baby brother, it was going to be me. You know, exactly. I was going to be the one that happened.
Exactly.
The kid down the street.
Exactly. Hey, but no, I got a quick story about coaches rubbing it in. So I'm going to take you back real quick. 2013, maybe it was, no, actually it was 2012. We're playing the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. I can't remember what week it was, but it was towards the back half of the season. And we're getting like smashed. I believe at this time the score was like maybe 41-0. And it's like
Brewster, is Arians your coach at this point, or is it still
No. So this is Wizenhunt was my Wizenhunt last year.
Okay.
So they're up like 40-0, 41-0, something like 42-0 maybe. Matt Flynn comes into the game. Like I told you, it's fourth quarter, maybe like 6 minutes left. Now, you know, when the backup quarterback comes in, you think they're just about to run the football. You're already beating us 42-0.
Yeah.
Let's get on up out of here. Man, tell me why Pete Carroll, they called in a freaking play action and went up top on us. And I think it was South Carolina receiver with the dreads.
Sidney Rice?
Sidney Rice got a doggone play action bomb off of us, and they end up going up 50. Whatever the final score was, it was like 58-0. The final score ended up being 58-0.
Oh my God, I'll never forget
Coach Bruce Arians coming into his to our meeting. The first thing that he said, I'd be damned if I let someone just rub like a score in my face like that. And from that point on, that's when it kind of became a rivalry between.
Oh, when he got hired, he said that to you guys.
Yes. And that's kind of when it became a rivalry. And we was like one of the first teams to beat them in their stadium, like throughout that time. I want to say Coach Arians had like one of the better records.
Ben said that you forced two fumbles in that game, or recovered two fumbles, even though you guys got your doors blown off there.
I did. I think I had a pick too, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, we got it. Wasn't even.
He said you lost two fumbles in that game. What? No way.
He's right. I did. Punt return. You're right. I did. And I had these sleeves on. Cause it was like it was like today. The weather was like on and off. It rained, then it was sunny, then it was foggy. So I had these sleeves on, and it was in that tunnel, where our tunnel, and it kicked it like close to the sideline. And I'm watching the ball was swirling. I'm trying to get a gauge on the gunner, and right when I looked back down, the ball literally went right through my arm. So yes, Spence, thanks for bringing that up.
But he did say you had an interception, so he's really going through the box score now. So at least you made up for it.
Yeah, I mean, I got a good memory. I got a good memory.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of First and Pod, Steelers and Giants tomorrow. Yep. We'll be back Thursday to break down that Halloween night affair. between the hapless Jets and the Houston Texans. So tell your friends, subscribe, rate, review First and Pod. Thanks to Spencer. He's Patrick Peterson. I'm Andrew Filippone. We'll talk again next week.